reading from Acts 2. I'm going to speak this morning on the thought of spiritual sponges. Spiritual sponges. Acts chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Let's bow our hearts together and let's ask God's blessing as we break the bread of life together this morning. Once again, Heavenly Father, we worship You so much and we love You because You gave everything for us. Your dear Son shedding His blood on Calvary that we might be made whole in the name of Jesus. So we thank You. We thank You as a body for the privilege that we have to come together and to worship You, Lord, and to encourage one another and also be encouraged by Your Word. So we pray this morning by the power of Your Holy Spirit You would move upon us as we approach the Word of God. That God, Your anointing would rest upon this speaker and upon every hearer. Anoint our ears to hear, our minds to receive what the Spirit of God has for us this day. May we rightly divide the Word of truth. And we ask this all in the holy name of Jesus, and all God's people said, Amen. 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 I am confirmed in my heart because I believe Scripture teaches and also what I have experienced in my life and what I have seen, that it is the will of the Father for believers in the Lord Jesus Christ to be filled with His Holy Spirit, to be filled to the full. And that's what that word means, to be filled to the top or to be filled to complete capacity. And I believe that this is not just a one-time experience that someone might receive in a revival. God might meet with them and they might be blessed and filled with His Holy Spirit at the altar or at their pew, wherever they might be. But it's something that is to be ongoing in their lives. And we're to live in the power and in the fullness of His Holy Spirit. We read Acts chapter 13, verse 9, how the Apostle Paul was someone who just wasn't initially baptized when Ananias came in and prayed for him. We read in that scripture, Saul, who was called Paul, was filled with the Holy Spirit. He walked in the power of the Holy Spirit. In fact, as he talked to different churches, and I believe it was the church in Corinth, in 2 Corinthians, I might be mistaken, I'm going from memory. He wrote, I came to you not in excellency of speech, but I came to you in the power and demonstration of the Spirit. This wasn't just a one-time thing. He was continually filled with the Holy Spirit. And this experience in his life wasn't just for him because he was an apostle. Was the apostle of God, so of course he should be filled with the Holy Spirit. But God, being one, as Romans 2:10 tells us, no respecter of persons, wants everyone to be filled with the Spirit. And at all times, Acts chapter 13, verse 52, same chapter, not only was the apostle Paul filled with the Spirit and keep being filled, the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. That Paul in his teachings, teaching and encouraging the church and wanting to impact upon them, specifically at Ephesus in this chapter, in the book of Ephesians chapter 5 verse 18, teaches them, do not get drunk in wine which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Now, not every scripture talks about being Spirit-filled, and I think part of that was Paul just expected Peter and John and all the other apostles and disciples and teachers and pastors expected there would be a desire for believers to be filled with the Spirit and to walk in that infilling in the name of Jesus. that we'll look at a little bit later in Acts chapter 19. Paul comes upon this same church, Ephesus, and sees disciples there. Have you not been filled with the Holy Spirit? They were believers. And I'm not yelling at anyone. I'm not angry. It's joy. There's joy in the Holy Spirit. But almost incredulously, it seems, at least in my opinion, have you not been filled with the Holy Spirit? What is the infilling? As we teach and as we believe in our church, the infilling, and as the Bible teaches above all, the infilling is something as what we refer to at times as a second work of grace. Phrase sometimes commonly used in association with the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And what that means, you know, there's a lot of theology kind of in that. But the second word of God's gifting, second work of God's gifting to His followers, the first being salvation. What is salvation is when we receive what we sang about today, what Jesus did on the cross, dying for our sins. We receive that personally in our lives. And what do we do to earn that? Nothing. It's a work of grace. God gives it to us freely. We simply have to believe and receive that Jesus died on Calvary for our sins. And there's a second work of grace, separate and subsequent to a person receiving Jesus as their Savior, and that is being filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit coming upon an individual as He came upon those 120 who are in that upper room in Acts chapter 2, our text this morning, where the Holy Spirit just poured into their lives. There was a sound of rushing mighty wind, and that was wonderful, but that wasn't it. There were tongues of fire in their heads, which is spectacular. That wasn't it. But they were filled with power, and they were changed men and women that day when they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Why? Because God filled them to the full with His presence. And just like today, God, He never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, has intended for the church today to experience that very same thing. The filling of the Holy Spirit in a person's life. And to walk in that fullness, just as He did to the early apostles. Were they in any more need than we are today? No. In fact, I'd say we are in more need today. Well, probably just as much. I mean, we're in the same type of world. A world that is increasingly, in some instances, especially in the United States, ignorant of the things of God, ignorant of who Christ is. But bless God, we're up to the challenge because it's God's will that all men be saved. I was going to say God's on our side, but really it's not God on our side. We're on His side. Amen. And nothing's too, even postmodernism is not too big for God. Bless the Lord. Now, one of the illustrations that He used to describe believers and their relationship with the Holy Spirit, and we often think of it in the King James Version from 2 Timothy chapter 2, is that of a vessel. And what do we think of a vessel? We think of something like this bowl, maybe, or this cup, something that can hold water. Now, when you read 2 Timothy chapter 2 in the New International Version, it uses the word article. That word also could be translated instrument. Almost every implement, almost any implement within a household could be described as a believer. And often when we talk about, and you'll see where I'm going in just a moment, often when we talk about the infilling of the Holy Spirit, we think of some type of vessel to hold water like a cup or a jar or a glass or something of that nature. And that's a good illustration and we can use that. But I'd like to use a slightly different illustration this morning, and of course one of the symbols in Scripture of the Holy Spirit is water. And the symbol that I'd like to look at this morning, describe to you, or use to help us to understand the infilling of the Holy Spirit is that of a sponge. Those of you Maybe you can't see. This is a common household sponge. A porous object that is known for what? Basically for its ability to absorb water. It is not, or should not that be our purpose? Being believers who are open to and receiving the infilling of God's Holy Spirit in our lives, much like a sponge would soak up water. And there are three ways, or three different states, that a sponge can exist in. And I think it describes how our relationship can be, or should be, with the Holy Spirit. Now, Brother Bill, I'll ask you to touch this sponge, and what do you notice about it? It is a dry sponge. How many of you would use a dry sponge to clean? No. It wouldn't. You might want to mop up something, but if you know, say there was dirt on this altar and I was to do this, well, I'd do a good job in moving that dirt around, but I wouldn't do too much of a good job absorbing or cleaning that dirt. Why? Because this sponge is dry. In its current state, it's not very useful. It might be a little useful. You know, I could use it, maybe put it under a couch to level it off or something of that nature. But not for its intent. It can't clean. And it's the same as far as believers. We need to realize, now think back on the first work of grace, salvation. Did God force you, those of you who personally know Jesus Christ as your Savior, did God say, be saved or else? Did God move your mouth? He convicted you, He wooed you, He loved you, He sent His Holy Spirit upon you, but you made the decision to either accept or reject the free gift of salvation. And such it is with everything else as it relates to our relationship with Jesus Christ, even the infilling of the Holy Spirit. You know, I used to think at one time in my life, I will never prophesy unless God just takes over and goes beyond my will. And you know what? If I kept that mindset, I would never have prophesied. Why? Because God will never go against your will. He can. He can do whatever He wants. But He has created us to be free moral agents or people of free choice. In fact, does not the Bible say, and I don't have the scripture, please forgive me this morning, I meant to print it out, in the book of Ephesians, I believe, quench not the Spirit, or don't put the Spirit. What does that mean? That means we have the ability, although God is God, to stop the Spirit's moving and influence on our lives, including His infilling. And believers can and often do, or in some instances do, make the choice to, instead of being wet and filled with the fullness and the power and the glory and all that comes with the Holy Spirit, to remain dry. Oh, how bad that is. What do you think of? What image comes in your mind when you think of a dry spirit? Because in the Bible, that does speak of a man or a woman's spiritual condition. Think of one that's dead. But above all, I think of one that is longing. Dryness as it relates to us physically brings to us thirst. And thirst, if it's allowed to go on, can become maddening. All you want is a drink, and you'd be willing to do anything to drink. People who are shipwrecked, shipwrecked or, you know, out at sea, their ship is sunk. They know they shouldn't drink salt water, but many of them drink it anyways. Why? Because they're driven by thirst. It brings a longing in their soul. You can never be as satisfied. And I think that's one reason why many believers aren't satisfied. And that's one reason why there's a revolving door in the church. And I'm not putting all the blame on new believers. We need to do our part as well, and sometimes we don't. But sometimes it's their fault. Because they made that first step in accepting Jesus, but don't want to go deeper and receive more of Him and His blessing and His fullness in their lives. dryness. Also, dryness is not only something that affects us personally, it affects us as far as our influence in the world. Remember, this sponge is dry, so it's useless. What do we need as believers to be effective in our ministry? We need the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Now, I know there's things that we can do and should do in the natural. And I guess I'll be picking on Bill today since he's the closest. But if Bill is going through a tough time, I can and I should, and it would be of some benefit to him for me to visit him, to maybe pray with him, to share a scripture, to give a word of encouragement, which is all well and good. But what will make the change in Bill's life, bringing him from a place of despair to a place of victory? Any word that I might say or a work of the Holy Spirit within his life? In fact, what brings salvation in a person's life? A great sermon? Well, the preaching of the Word of God is important, but it's the moving of God's Holy Spirit. No man comes unless he is drawn by the Father, the Scripture says. It's the work of the Spirit. We cannot be effective for the kingdom of God unless we're filled and anointed by the Holy Spirit. Some of you may disagree. But all works of God are divine works, and so they need His touch. Now, why is that? Why do some people stay dry? And for some, that may be fear. But one thing that brings that upon a believer or causes a believer to remain in a state of dryness is lack of understanding. Lack of understanding regarding the ways of the Spirit. I referred to this earlier. Let me share it again. A good example of this is from Acts 19, 1 through 6. And it's an account of one of the missionary journeys of the Apostle Paul, and he came upon the city of Ephesus, and there were a group of repentant believers there in this city. Scripture reads in Acts 19, 1 through 6, while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. There he found some disciples, so followers of God, and most likely Jesus, although not explicitly stated, and asked them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" So they came to a place of faith in Christ. They answered, "No, no, we have not even heard there is a Holy Spirit." So Paul asked then, "What baptism did you receive?" "John's baptism," they replied. Paul said John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is in Jesus. When hearing this, they were baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. Why were these disciples living below or not experiencing the fullness of the Spirit as they could have? Was it because they were bad? Was it because they were fearful? Was it because they didn't really see any need for it? They thought they were okay by themselves? It was a matter of ignorance. They didn't even know that there was the possibility of being filled with the Holy Ghost. And I know even in a Pentecostal church that we preach about and teach about and we have it in our bylaws and all our write-ups and we have different pamphlets on it, there are still people who are living in a lack of understanding or, forgive the expression, a state of ignorance regarding what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. There are some whose ignorance is on a mental level. And what I mean, it's in your mind or in your cognitive understanding. You know, there are people who go to the beach. I don't know what kind of person you are. There are some people who like to dive right in. There's other people who just like to get their feet wet. And they're just happy with that. And then, in a way, that can describe believers. There are some, when they accept Jesus, they're ready to dive in and receive everything that God has for them. And then there are some, when they accept Jesus, just want kind of a taste. I don't want to get too deep into it. Including things of the Spirit. They might see it written in pamphlets or different things. They might hear it preached from the pulpit. They might even hear the person next to them as we're worshiping God in another language. And let me tell you, there's nothing wrong with that. And you want to burst out in tongues while we're worshiping, go ahead. They did that in Acts 2. We should do it here. We can do it here. Bless God. But to receive, we need a level of understanding. We don't come to Christ out of ignorance. We come to Christ out of knowledge. Through the preaching of the gospel, people become saved. And so it is with the infilling. You study what Acts says, what Paul says, what 1 Corinthians 12 through 14 says. We need to, if we haven't experienced this in our life, get with a believer who has. And not just that one time experience, but one who's walking to the best of their ability. In the presence of the Holy Spirit. Tell me about that experience. Tell me how you received. Help me understand. In Jesus' name. There are a lot of good books. And be careful with books. Some are good and some are partly good and partly not good. Some aren't worth the paper they're printed on. Be very careful what you read. But there are wonderful books. Teachings from other teachers. Regarding the infilling of the Holy Spirit. So there's a mental ignorance, but there's also spiritual ignorance as it relates to the infilling of the Holy Spirit or a spiritual lack of understanding. We need to understand that because as far as being a person, not only the old person that we once were, but the new person that we are in Christ, there are different parts that make us up. And what I mean by that, let me explain it to you this way. You have... let me ask the question, what makes up you as a person? Well, there's your body. I see Judy. I know this is Judy because of her body, but I know Judy is more than just what we see on the outside. There's a person inside. There's a mind that's there. And there's emotion that's there, although Judy's one of the most even-keeled. She's working with those kids Wednesday night. there's emotion. There's different parts that interrelate but are separate. Your body can be sick, but your mind be fine. Your mind can be sick, but your body be fine, and so on and so forth. Separate yet together. And there's a new dynamic that's brought in when we accept Jesus Christ as Savior, because when we accept Christ as Savior, we become born what? Born again. Born of the Spirit. There's a new man or woman that's inside of us. A man or woman, not of the flesh, but of the Spirit. And there's a spiritual dynamic that now comes into our lives. And the way the Holy Spirit works through a person is not through their mind and not through their emotion, but through their spirit. And I'll explain it, and let me use this one aspect of being filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking in other tongues or other languages. Now we hold that as one of our core doctrines. That not only does the Holy Spirit, when He fills a person with His Spirit, not only does He fill people to the full with His Holy Spirit, but when He does so, one of the signs, and there are many, but one of the signs that we see through Scripture is the speaking in other tongues or other languages that are unknown to that speaker as the Holy Spirit moves upon them. Now, for this to happen, in anyone's life, not just certain people, but in anyone's life, takes a great leap of faith. Because the process of speaking in tongues is completely different from the process of speaking in English or whatever language that you speak. How do we speak? I think of a word. I see door. If I want to say door, I think it, and then I say it. And a lot of times when it comes to the infilling of the Holy Spirit and we want to receive and express ourselves in this beautiful gift of tongues, we think that word first has to come to our mind before it comes to our mouth. But that's not the way it works. The mind, when it comes to speaking in other languages and everything else really that is related to the life ministry and experience in the Holy Spirit doesn't come through the mind, but through the Spirit. The mind is not a participant, it's more of a spectator. Am I saying that? Is that coming out of me? How many have ever done that in English? You're sharing with someone, all of a sudden you say something that came out of nowhere. and it ministered to them, and it touched them. It might have even brought them to tears. It wasn't you. It was the Spirit speaking through you and bypassing sometimes one of the biggest things that can inhibit us, the Spirit. Now, I'm sure there's some of you who are out there who are saying, what in the world is this guy talking about? Let me tell you. Neither I nor anyone on this earth can fully explain to you what it means to be filled with the Spirit and how to walk in the Spirit, how to allow, and no one can teach you to speak in tongues. It's something that happens. It's not a matter of learning. It's a matter of doing. No one can make you truly understand the process, because the Bible says, 1 Corinthians 2:14, I believe, the things of the Spirit, or the natural mind does not comprehend the things of the Spirit because they are spiritually discerned. It's a matter of the Holy Spirit. You know, my job is just to kind of point you in the right direction. And what I'm trying to say here is that regarding being full of the Spirit and not staying dry, it's a matter of changing the way that we act. And no longer living in the natural, but living in the spiritual, which is allowing the Spirit of God to move and work through us. Now, I hadn't planned to go here today, but, you know, being a spiritual man or woman doesn't mean you can just live your life the way you used to. You've got to walk close to God. Amen? But as you do, the Spirit will lead you and will guide you. Just let it go. You might make a mistake, but I don't think there's anyone here who's walking who, when they first started walking, didn't at some time fall and have to get picked up again. And very quickly, I didn't think I'd take as much time on that as I did. But I'd like to look at two more sponges. Secondly, the saturated sponge. Amen. We're not going to keep, this is why the water's here. I wasn't going to, you know, I thought maybe I'd wash Henry's feet, but I didn't say that. I didn't say that, Henry. Now this sponge is a little different. It's holding a lot, isn't it? It's useful. I can take this sponge, and I'm not going to leave it as soaked as it is. So I'm just going to rinse it just a little bit. But being wet, there's a little bit of water here that's around. I can mop that up. If there's any dirt that's on this surface, I can clean it. And the sponge is different. Bill, touch it once again. What do you notice about it other than it's wet?
It's soft.
It's soft. You know, there's different things we can say about what the Holy Spirit does to us internally. But one of the things that He does when we're full to His fullness is make us soft once again. You know, hardness is not just a feeling. Hardness can be a way of life. You can be really hard and bitter about things. Life will make you bitter. People will make you bitter greater than anything. For some people, even God, because of their perception of God and maybe something that has happened in their lives that is undesirable, God can make people bitter. And bitterness, as it is described in the Bible, is something that can burrow deep. Hebrews 11 talks about the root of bitterness. And when I think of a root, I think of something that is ingrained, you know. It's like those dandelions you fight in your yard. You pull the top, but the root's still there and it keeps coming up. But the Holy Spirit can change all of that supernaturally in the name of Jesus. Take away that bitterness. We're filled with the Holy Spirit. Not only are we filled on the inside, being softer, and of course there's a joy and peace and the power, you know, all those internal things. But we can be an external blessing. Amen? What's the purpose of a sponge? It's not just to be soft. So, oh, isn't that nice that we have a soft sponge? It feels so good. It's to work. It's to clean. Now this is effective for cleaning because it's wet. It can cleanse. Let me tell you, you and I, as instruments of the Lord Jesus Christ, have been called to help one another. And one of the ways we help one another is to help one another get victory over sin. Now, there are many ways that we do that. You know, be accountable to me. And that's great. And I'll share a scripture with you. But when we come together, there is a unique dynamic. If we're truly believers, born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, when we come together, there's a unique dynamic that comes into that equation, and that is the power of the Holy Ghost. And let me tell you, man in his own strength might get somewhat of a victory over sin, but might continue with that struggle over that sin, that addiction, whatever it might be, for a long time. But when the Spirit comes in, when He cleans, amen, He cleans completely. He goes down into the deepest, He's the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. He goes to the deepest places of man or woman, and He can clean all that gunk out in the name of Jesus. So it's not a matter of, well, I've got to meet my sponsor today so I don't have another drink. Bless God. I can walk into a bar or a liquor store and not take a drink because I have been delivered in Jesus' name. And when we're together, did not Jesus say where two or more are gathered, there I am in their midst? We're instruments of the Holy Spirit, of His power. The same with refreshing. You know, we can get discouraged. When Jesus was on the cross, they offered Him vinegar. And what did they give Him to drink that vinegar? They soaked it in a sponge. Now, I could this morning, I'm a little dry and I've got water. I could... This sponge is sad. I won't because it's a new sponge, but, I don't know what they do making it. But I could squeeze that out in my mouth and be refreshed, have my mouth refreshed and refreshment to my body. Why? Because a sponge carries water. You want to truly encourage someone, let me tell you, before you meet that person, don't just go... Nothing wrong with having a scripture in your heart. Nothing wrong with wanting to have a good word, a word of encouragement. Do that. But pray up and say, God, let me be an instrument of your Holy Spirit to refresh them. Just by being there. I notice it. I hope you do too. There's a difference when I talk to someone I don't know and we might talk about Red Sox or weather difference between that and talking to a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ about the things of God. Oh, I feel so much better. Why? Because you glorify God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the power of His Holy Spirit manifested Himself in your midst. Last sponge. And this one I think is the most dangerous one at all. That was a good sponge. That's the one we should describe to be. Is the constricted sponge. What do I mean by that? It's the one that's all... Wring out. I can squeeze this out. And I can take this sponge and I can hold it tightly in my hand and I can put it in the water. Now, how much water do you think I'm going to absorb with the sponge like this? I don't know. It's pretty much the same. There's no more water. It's a little damp. But there's no more water in it. See, it's a good sponge. There's no more water in it than there was before I put it in. And unfortunately, this describes some believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believers who wanted to get damp, but not soaked. I want a little, but I don't want a whole lot. Kind of like the Israelites. You know, God was moving. The glory of God is moving back in their early history as they delivered out of Israel. Let Moses go up the mountain. We'll stay down here. There are some people, I hope they're not many, who just want a taste of the Holy Spirit. They just want a sip, just to wet their mouths, but they don't want to drink and be full. Why is that? Luke chapter 12, verse 48 gives us the reason why. Latter part of that verse, from everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. When you are filled to fullness with the Holy Spirit, more is required of you. and there's an inherent knowledge of that. More is required of you regarding righteousness. The Holy Spirit, and when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, magnifies the voice of conscience. When we sin, if we're that dry sponge, we hear that little whisper, "Don't do that." But when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, "I won't do it." "Don't do that." It becomes much louder. The conviction of the Holy Ghost is much greater upon us, which should be a good thing. But let me tell you, I'm just going to leave that here for the rest of the message. I think I made my point with that. Let me tell you, there are people in the body of Christ who are living in sin and don't want to hear that it's sin because they love their sin too much. And you can't live that way and be full of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit will, He'll keep nagging you. He loves you. It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. I remember reading, it was either Crossing the Switchblade or Run Baby Run, and one of the gang members that David Wilkerson reached was filled with the Holy Ghost, and then he went out and he used drugs. And the Holy Spirit just came upon him, and he wept and he cried and never touched drugs again. It wasn't a bad thing, but the Holy Spirit wouldn't let him continue in that sin. Secondly, not only does the Holy Spirit increase the voice of conscience and conviction increase, the inner workings of the Holy Spirit upon our lives. God's will is that you be more of a Christian than what you are now. That's what His will is for my life, and what it is for your life. And there are some things regarding the infilling of the Holy Spirit that we like a lot. And there's some things that we don't like as much, especially when it comes to heart issues. Some of the things that we like, I think the next slide, and I make reference to the fruit of the Spirit. Thank you, Bill. We like love, amen? Who doesn't want to feel more of the love of God in a real way? We want joy, we want to be happy. We want to be able to jump up and down every day, and every day, no matter what, be as happy can be. That's good. We want peace. Who doesn't want peace in their lives? Quietness. When you lay down your head at night, you're not thinking about all the troubles and the trials of the day, everything that's going wrong in the world and the things that aren't perfect in your life. You're resting in the arms of Jesus. We love those things. Some fruits we like, but some fruits we don't like as much. Like patience, for instance. I haven't met too many people who said, "Oh, God, give me patience." I met people who said, "I need to ask for that," and have done that. Actually, the slide before that should have about 8 things on there. Or 7 things, 6 things. Kindness. Goodness. I mean, they're not bad things. Except when God wants us to be that way towards people we don't like. Faithfulness. Well, I like the freedom to come and go as I want and do what I want. I don't want to be more constrained to be faithful to God in my prayer life and my service. Gentleness and self-control, which in somewhat relates to faithfulness. Self-control is not just a matter of the alcoholic, the drug abuser, the person who indulges in pornography or sexual sin. Self-control affects every area of our lives. It's the ability to say no to not only those things which are sinful, but to those things which are not edifying. Disciplining our time, disciplining our minds, and so on and so forth. I want to live life free from any type of control or constraint or servitude. And the Holy Spirit moves on us in those things. I might not want that. So maybe I just want to come into service, have a little jolly time, speak a little tongues, and then go home and be the same. Can't be that way. If you want to live, that's not what God's will is for your life. It's to walk in the fullness every day. Thirdly, another reason why we just want to get damp is sometimes God moves you to crazy behavior. You know, the Holy Spirit did some strange things in the book of Acts. Things that the respectable person wouldn't do. Amen? He might move you to pray a lot, pray for someone in tongues. Oh, my goodness. Or to witness, you know, pick someone out of the bus station that you don't know and go up and say something to them. Either witnessing or a specific word. You know, God has moved upon people and can give words of knowledge regarding specific things that are happening in people's lives. Not so that you can appear as some kind of shaman or that type of thing, but so that that person might be touched by the power of the Holy Spirit. It has happened and can happen in the name of Jesus if we're filled with the Holy Spirit and we're willing to be filled. But we can stop it. We can say, Spirit, I just want a little bit. I just want to, you know, I just want to feel tingly all over. But that's it. We can't do that. I'd like to ask our musicians to come forward, because that's not God's perfect will for us. He wants us to be full. He wants us to be full so not only that we can experience Him in His fullness, but that we can grow as people, amen, and be more godly people. Let me tell you, equal to the spoken word, and the spoken word is important in our witness. It is important what you say, because it's the preaching of the cross that God uses to save people. It's a message of salvation. Amen. It's the word. But equal to that is your witness, how you carry yourself. And if you're at work preaching Jesus and talking Jesus and even speaking in tongues, but you're acting like a rascal, you're flying off the handle, you lack self-control, your witness will be diminished. And I've been there. You know, I've worked with believers and non-believers, and I've heard non-believers slam believers who weren't living up at least to where they thought. And, you know, no one's perfect. That's another message for another time. But just to stress the importance of the ability of your witness, God wants you to be more than you are for yourself, because truly you'll be more happy when you have more of gentleness, kindness, patience, faithfulness, self-control in your life, but so that you can be a more effective witness. Not only in the job, but at home. I don't mean to ramble this morning, but your kids watch you. And they watch, they are more impressed by what you do than by what you say, let me tell you. Kids are great. They can snuff out, you know, a phony from a mile away, even at home. God make us real at home. I'd like us to stand this morning. As we do, I'm going to just ask two things. Number one, that God would help us to think a new way. God, help me to think differently regarding to the approach of spiritual things. For too long, I've been trying to serve you with my mind instead of allowing your Holy Spirit to lead and guide me. It's a whole paradigm shift. And what I mean by that, it's a whole different way of thinking. It's a whole different way of living. It's living by the Spirit. It's not something new I'm just cooking up this morning just to tickle your fancy. It's something that is expressly taught in Scripture, that we're to live by the power of the Spirit, walk in the Spirit. And it requires just a whole new way of looking at life. We can't look at life the same anymore. And so we're going to pray for that. And secondly, we're going to pray for those of us who might be here who aren't yielded to the Holy Spirit. You're like that constricted sponge. I don't know where God's going to take me. And I don't want to be taken there because I'm comfortable where my life is right now. I don't want any speed bumps. I don't want God calling me to Africa. Not saying He will, not saying He won't either. But let me tell you, are you truly happy living that way? You know, just holding on, just saying, God, you truly want to be happy in your heart. Just let go. It's scary. And God will most certainly ask you to do things that maybe you're not comfortable with, maybe are unexpected. But when it's all said and done, it'll be worth it. In the name of Jesus, and there'll be no regrets in your life. God help us, amen, as a church and a people be more yielded. We're going to pray. Then we're going to sing a chorus of praise. And then after we do, those who feel free, who must leave, you are dismissed. After we worship God together, I think it's important that we both open and close with a song of praise. But those who would like to, either God's dealing with you on this issue, or maybe you just want to come and spend some time before God, we invite you to either where you're seated or up in the front to come spend some time in prayer before the Lord. We also invite those who would like to be anointed with oil and prayed for to come. Myself and our elders will pray for you in the name of Jesus. But let's believe God together. Amen. God, we love you so much this morning, and we thank you. Because not only, God, are you the giver of one gift, which is beyond any amount, beyond fathoming, beyond all understanding, beyond all expense, the gift of salvation, you've also given us, God, the gift of your Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. And God, and you understand, because, Lord, you lived as a man, you lived as a man, even though you were God. You understand the struggles that we go through, and you understand the confusion. You met it head on with the disciples who were always confused. Help us, God, to make that mental leap, oh God, to no longer think according to the ways of the flesh, but to begin to think and live according to the ways of your Holy Spirit. Teach us, oh God. And God, we pray that you'd not only give us spiritual and mental understanding regarding these things, but that you bring us to a point of yieldedness in the name of Jesus. Some of us, God, have been afraid. Some of us, God, we just don't know where you're going to take us. We're afraid that you're going to make us do things that will be of harm to us, make us look foolish. Maybe just things we just don't want to do because it's just too ingrained in our nature. God, forgive us of that. We confess that before you. And we ask that you would help us, God, to be completely yielded, that we might be filled with your Spirit in Jesus' name. Oh, come, Holy Spirit, rest on us. And bring, God, this church, oh God, and every member in it, because each one of us are precious in your sight, to a new place in you. And we ask this in your holy name this morning. Amen and amen. Let's worship God together. Amen. Amen. Bless God. Jeremiah, if you'd lead us. Amen.